Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
And one other thing on Anthony Edwards, remember when he was the first overall pick a few years ago? Wasn't the knock?
Out of Georgia.
Wasn't the knock like, and so you have to be careful with this sometimes. Wasn't the knock that Georgia team didn't even make the tournament? Or do I have that wrong?
Yeah, that's right.
And
the other knock on him was that he was like a kid that didn't love basketball. Like he was didn't he play football for a while?
Did he?
And then he just played basketball in college because he was better at it. So people were like, well, I don't know if he really loves it. Oh, I think he loves it.
I think he does, too.
I think he loves snatching souls from players on the court.
I think so, man. And, you know, so I guess sometimes you got to be a little careful with like, yeah, but that guy didn't even get his team to the tournament. How good could he be? He's awfully good. And sometimes, I don't know, I mean, sometimes you can lean into what a guy accomplished when he was young. Like, a lot of people are pointing it now. Maybe it's easy, but, like, a lot of people look at Jalen Brunson now and they're like, well, let's stop and think. All the kid has ever done since high school is win. He won state championships here, right? He won collegiate championships. Did he win one or two? He won one. Did he win two, Chris? Yeah.
Maybe
he won twice. So some people look back at it now and go like, you think he's any good? All he's done since high school is win. He's just a winner.
He had a big night.
He had another big night. Yeah, or big day yesterday. I missed that game.
At 40?
He had 47, I think.
Oh, boy, that's a big number.
I think it was a Knicks record I read. All-time record.
Third behind me in Anthony Edwards. And Denny Hamlin was fourth.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Yurko. But, yeah, man, Anthony Edwards, is like he's a baller. And then I want to play this for you real quick, too, because this was this. I watched this, Yurko. I must have watched it 10 times. It had me laughing. Barkley's the absolute best. And, obviously, he must have made the joke off air because right when they got back on air, Shaq set him up. This was after the Pels got destroyed at home in game 3 Saturday night by Oklahoma City.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna send them to Cancun. We're gonna send them to Galveston with that dirty ass water be washing up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all okay? Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water. Come on, man.
Oklahoma City,
185 The producers back. You can hear the producers laughing their asses off. He's the best, Yurko. He's just the best. Where are you saying?
He's apologizing. 4 hours ago, Chuck apologized to Beyonce's mom for the Galveston comment.
Oh, Chuck, don't do it. You don't have to apologize for anything. That dirty ass water. We're not even sending you to Cancun. We're sending you to Galveston. I don't know where he comes up with it. You're as great of a ball buster as Barkley. Is that something Yurko would say?
Well, I didn't know the water was dirty in Galveston. I had no idea.
Dirty, Yurko. I've been to Galveston. Chuck's not wrong.
23 hours ago, drugs found on Jamaica Beach in Galveston, Texas. All types of things happen.
We're not even sending you to Cancun. We're going to make you drive to Galveston. You can't even get in the water because of the dirty ass.
So you apologize to Beyonce's mom, then immediately double down with the insults on Galveston.
Good. That's more like it, Chuck. You don't have to apologize for anything. Charles Barkley is a national treasure. It's funny stuff. All right. We're recapping the draft from the weekend. Bears getting high marks pretty much across the board. Yurko went from an A to an A minus because of the punter pick. I went from a B plus. I went from an A minus to a B plus.
Yeah.
We docked them a few points. Yurko might have summed it up most succinctly and perfectly. What does it show when you're coming off a 7-win season and you draft a punter in the fourth round when you only have 4 picks?
Arrogance. It's a hint of arrogance out there. What are you doing? Doesn't make any sense. Mm. You still got some holes on this team. It's not complete. You might think it's going to be tough to make this team, but there's a couple of positions where you're giving out gifts. You're giving out a gift to somebody to say, hey, we just need you to fill the spot. We're not looking for anything exceptional out of there. Not only that, but you're not only thinking about picking for this year, you're thinking about picking for the next 2-3 years. You've got guards that are going to be coming and wanting to get paid. You know, you got your left guard that's going to want some money.
Yeah, if you stay healthy.
You've got safeties that want some money.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're going to want to get paid. It's time to be pay some of these guys. That's coming to fruition.
Your slot corner and your safety, your free safety, your strong safety are going to have to get paid.
They're
going to
want to make some money.
Very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, that is...
They're going into year three.
Of the essence.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were not first-round picks. Remember that. So there's no fifth year of control. Yeah, drafting a punter, whether he's the best or not at his position, it's hard to get too excited about that for us. Some people really get excited, though. Oh, he's going to change field position. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Yeah, I don't.
You have an issue at tackle. You've got an issue at end.
And they did draft players there, but they had to spend a pick from next year to get back in to draft Austin Booker from the fifth round. In the fifth round, you could have maybe taken him at the fourth. I don't know. With pick 122. I just, do you really need to draft kickers and punters in the fourth round? The first kicker didn't go to the sixth round.
I don't think you do either. I think that's the point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And every guy that you want to draft, you can foresee one day becoming a starter on your football team. You see the potential in that individual. If you get him into your system, you develop him. That's what you want to be able to do. When the Green Bay Packers took David Bakhtiari, where they took him in the fourth round, they had foreseen that, hey, we think this guy could play, and we see him being a staple in our offense for a number of years. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for players. I'm looking for Puka Nacua.
Oh, my God.
That's who I'm looking for.
Amen. What about Kieran? Am I saying his name right? Is it Amagaji? Is that right?
That's as close as anybody I've heard.
Local kid. Played at Hinsdale Central.
You're right. Amagaji.
Is that right? Amagaji. Yes. Lifelong Bears fan. So, locals, that's great, like the local connection, and he gets drafted by his hometown team. Didn't play a ton at tackle, played a little bit more guard. Played at Yale.
Had a quad.
But he is a mountain of a man.
He's a big fella, nimble feet, good hands, long arms. Something that you can foresee one day becoming something.
Like you said.
Which is what you want to do.
Drafting those guys there that with the idea that they can be a starter.
Yes.
Just because we're drafting you in round three doesn't mean that we don't envision you someday as a starter. And you think it's a stretch, Yerk, to think that he could push Braxton Jones this year?
I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
More of a developmental.
I think he needs some seasoning.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at some seasoning that's necessary. Now, after a couple, 2-3 weeks, I think maybe you can go ahead and fit him in there and things will be okay for you.
Yeah. And then Austin Booker was the edge that they went back into round five to grab out of Kansas. I read you earlier that Matt Miller, when discussing from ESPN.com, one of the draft analysts and gurus, when discussing his best fifth round value pick out of all the fifth rounders, he singled out Austin Booker to the Bears at number 144. Now, he had him at number 87 on his board. So, this is good value, according to Miller. He writes, turn on Booker's tape from games against Illinois or Texas, and you'd think that the Bears drafted him in the second or third round. The issue is he wasn't consistent and logged just 505 snaps in college. The Bears are betting on his developmental upside at a position of need. He can learn from Montez Sweat in a great situation for his NFL acclimation after finishing last season with 8 sacks for Kansas. So it's nice to read that the best value pick in round 5, according to Miller, was indeed a position of need again for the Bears. And we'll see if he can immediately make an impact as a situational pass rusher.
And like I said with Bakhtiari, fourth round.
Yeah.
Fourth round guy.
He turned out to be a stud.
Yeah, pro
injuries
kind of pro.
Yeah.
Sidelined him in the 20s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think, his first round, 2013.
So about
6-7 years. Yeah. For 6-7 years, he was the guy, and then all of a sudden he started getting hurt. 2020 was his last productive year, it looks like. And then after that, that's when the injuries started mounting up.
Man, when you hit like that, you feel good, don't you, Eric? You did something right.
Yep.
You identified a guy, you developed him right. I can't remember what I read. Like, Kieran was, he was like the 20th offensive lineman drafted or something. Maybe even farther than that.
Right.
There were so many of them. What are the odds the Bears can hit? Hey, if you do it right, there's always a chance. But I like what you said. Like, you should be looking for guys that you always think – can eventually start for you.
I'm not looking for a guy just to be able to play special teams.
Right.
I need a guy that eventually can get in there and take the position of a guy and be a less expensive version of that individual.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. And you're always drafting guys that you think have the ability to be a starter on your team. You're never drafting somebody just saying, hey, oh, he can be a third down back. No, it's not what I want.
Sometimes teams get foolish with, like, you know, you mentioned Garrett Wolf before, yeah. Or like a Tariq Cohen pick.
Yeah.
Like, when was Tariq Cohen ever going to
never
fulfill what you're talking about?
He was never going to be it. Never.
Yeah. Like, you know, no disrespect to Tariq
Cohen,
but
people want to get cute, though. They want to get cute with draft choices. Don't be cute. You know, keep it simple.
Yeah, so the Tory Taylor thing, I think, was a little bit of a head-scratcher. We don't put a huge premium on those positions anyway, so people don't like it that we say that sometimes and view it differently. And that's fine. Different strokes for different folks. Like, that's fine. But we've never placed, I think, too high of a priority on punters, kickers. Like, and no joke, we do watch a lot of football, all of us, Black Abdallah. Like, we struggled to name, we couldn't name five punters in the league. Now, when people start saying the names, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I've heard that guy. I've heard of Hecker. I know who he is. Rams. I remember him in the Rams. I can't keep track of their teams. They're like, no, knucklehead, he hasn't been on the Rams in 2 years. He's Carolina. Oh, okay. Tommy Townsend, moved. That was one of the punters I was proud of myself for naming. I didn't know he moved teams. I just don't follow it or track it or care that much about it. And to talk about the finer
nobody
points.
Nobody does.
I want to talk about the finer points of my offense being efficient, bypassing third down, having a high EPA per play, scoring six instead of three, being multiple, being dynamic. Like, that's what I want to focus on, not the punter being able to put English on the ball. And it's great when it happens in the moment. All right, down it inside the five. Okay, and like Yurko said, your coverage teams have to be good for that too normally. I just don't pay attention to the finer points of that. It is not my want as a football fan.
To the point, even with punters, kickers, I've eliminated them from my fantasy teams. We don't even draft kickers. They're gone.
In your fantasy league?
No
really,
longer
you guys
a part
got rid of
it. Special teams are still a part of it, only in special teams touchdowns. They tie in with the defense, and that's really it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the way it's been scored forever, so that's the only thing. But, you know, punters never were a part of the damn thing, and now we're starting to eliminate kickers out of fantasy league because it doesn't matter. They don't matter. They're an unnecessary evil to the game of football. Unnecessary evil to the game of football.
Wouldn't it be great if they just eliminated it altogether?
I don't think it can live. I think you have to be a position player to be able to kick. I think you should go back to the old days.
Back to the old days?
Yeah. You had not a specialist.
Too specialized, though. You know, now guys hit 50-plus yarders all the time.
I want Luda Togroza to go up there. I want an offensive lineman to put the square toe back on. And go down there and hit him on top of the head and watch his toe go in the air.
I mean, I like it that your guy could hit a 55-yarder. My only point is you should be able to find, like, anybody that can do that. Like, it's become so specialized. That's not a weird thing anymore for a guy to be able to hit a 55-yarder. Like, there should be, you know, virtually every kicker in the league should be able to do that because it's so specialized.
If I were going to recruit a punter, I'd go to Australia.
Well, that's where Tory Taylor's from.
I'd go to the Australian rules football. I'd say, boys, I got a 3-year contract for $1.7 million. For any of you lads that can kick the football the way we want you to kick it. And, you know, they play the Australian rules. Those guys are in tremendous shape. They run up and down the field. They got 40-meter hand passes. They've got to collect the mark when the ball's up in the air. They blow the whistle, and then he's get a chance to advance the ball and in peace.
Is it the same?
I mean, it's a fantastic game.
Is it the same as rugby?
They're athletic. No, it's not the same as rugby, but they kick the ball, pass the ball, run the ball. They dribble the ball every once in a while. It's a game that involves everything. Hmm. Those guys can kick the living hell out of the ball.
Well, that's where he's from.
I can
that's
go
good.
Down there. 3-year, $1.7 million. Come be my kicker.
So your point is why draft him? Just go to Australia.
Go to Australia.
Yeah.
Go on a walkabout.
Walkabout.
Go on a walkabout.
Find one of them.
Get the shrimp on the Bobby.
Right.
All right? And go down there and have yourself some fun.
Yeah, and just be like, we'll take that one.
Go to Adelaide, go to Canberra, Melbourne, Sydney. You go up there and you just go to the pitches and say, lads. 21-year-old kid, who can kick this ball the farthest?
Do it in your Australian accent.
What's the new one? Hey, I don't have an Australian accent. Good one. I have to watch Crocodile Dundee for me to get a good Australian accent. So, you know, go ahead and kick this ball. And then sign the kid to the contract and say, welcome to the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to have a pension.
And a damn good one.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to talk draft with us from the weekend, Giving out grades for these things is tough, but man, oh man, the Bears seem to do extremely, extremely well. And we were talking about Caleb's props before. We're like, oh, it's got to be over. It's got to be over. Maybe we're all sipping the Kool-Aid, but I don't know. It tastes good right now. That's for damn sure. 312-332-3776. Cross talking about 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh, reading some of the grades from NBC Sports Chicago.
Come on.
Pretty high, like most people, on the Bears and all the picks. Caleb Williams gets an A+. Roma Dunze gets an A+. Yeah, baby. Kieran Amagaji gets an A- from the folks at NBC Sports Chicago. Your boy Torrey Taylor gets a B+, Yurko. They write, he's known for having that monster leg, and he left Iowa with several NCAA records. His 46.3-yard average over his career and his near 4,500 total punt yards in 2023 are both the best all-time marks. He won the Ray Guy Award. He had 32 punts inside the 20 last year, and his punts led to 29 fair catches. By adding Taylor, the Bears are most assuredly going to move on from Trenton Gill. The team drafted Gill in the 7th round in 2022. That's where you should draft punters, by the way, right, Yurko? The 7th round in 2022. He enjoyed a solid rookie year, but he took a step back last season. Gill's 38 net yards per punt last season ranked dead last in the NFL. That's not much. Now, that could have something to do with the coverage units. Like Yurko said, there's some nuance in those numbers. His 11.9% touchback rate was tied for 3rd worst. Gill's 26.9% rate on punts inside the 20 was 4th worst. So the numbers were not very good. Obviously, the Bears felt they needed to upgrade. But I like your idea. Fly to Australia, go to one of those games, and just like pick out a guy that looks good. He's got a big booming draft. Like, I'll take him.
I first pick in the 8th round.
They don't have an 8th round.
That's exactly where he should get traded.
You drafted. Smart ass.
There is a nickname that's starting to go around Twitter and stuff.
Now, he's Australian.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
All right, so let's think about this. He's Torrey Taylor from Iowa by way of Australia. He's coming to the Bears. I'm not good at this stuff. I'm not clever enough. But this is going around online. All right, what
There's
is it, Adam?
There's two of them. The first one is Mega Punt, which isn't...
Eh. Be careful.
I'm okay with that. Just that's fine.
Just be careful, too.
The Crocodile Punter.
That's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty good. Come on, Yurko. You want to laugh. I know you do. You're
It's kind of good.
You try it so hard. That's pretty good. Crocodile Punter's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty good.
I can't wait for his first touchback.
You're such a jackass.
See how great this kid is.
You're such a
jerk. Can't wait for my first touchback. No, come on, you're admit it. You like the nickname.
Is there any chance I can get him and Craig Counsell together?
Oh, God.
Two of them that can tell each other how great they are.
Poor Craig's bullpen maneuvering again yesterday.
No, he's great. He's fantastic, right? He's going to solve all those problems.
Oh, look, the Cubs are good.
Hasn't that happened, though?
No.
All the bullpen problems have gone away. They said it was all David Ross, remember?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Crocodile Punter.
That's a great nickname. You got to admit, that's pretty good.
Crocodile Punter.
Crocodile Punter. I mean, that's almost as good as Secret Bajan Man.
Like, they better have on the Jumbotron he does pin someone inside the 20 or 10. Like, there better be a crikey.
Don't you
like,
need,
like... Like, it better
like,
be the Crocodile Hunter up there.
Like, if he does something badass, don't you, like... automatically play the clip of Paul Hogan when he pulls the knife out, right? Like, that's not a knife. That's
a knife.
Don't you, right? Like, I'll show you my big balls. Like, here you go.
Is he still with us?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I think he passed Paul Hogan.
You know what?
I hope nobody's dyslexic up there and starts with Propodile. That second one's going to be a little tough for you.
Can we get him to record?
Paul Hogan is 84,
okay,
dude.
Can we get him to record? That's, I'll show, that's not a punt.
Oh, see, like, that's perfect. Like, Adam, you think you can reach out to Paul Hogan's people?
I'll call him right up. Hold on.
He's got to have an agent. That's not a pun.
I think it's Linda Kozlowski that he married after he got divorced from his wife.
He did marry Linda.
You might have to talk to Linda Kozlowski.
Dude, Linda Kozlowski in the original Crocodile Dundee is an absolute smoke show.
I was hoping to be a saltwater crocodile that day.
I mean...
Oh, man.
I mean, right? Like...
I'm taking
original
a
original Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Linda K is throwing 102.
Yeah, I don't think we should reach out to him.
fly. Uh-oh.
Crocodile Dundee. Paul, I was calling the crocodile punter. Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan in good spirits months after health scare that left him feeble.
He's feeble. Feeble. That's feeble. A shame. I mean, geez.
Sure, that's not about.
So he can't record for us? That's not a pun? That's
it's
a pun?
Not gonna happen.
We'll just find an Australian to do it.
Can we stop again and think of how hot Linda Kozlowski was in that movie? My God.
She's good looking.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about something, Carm?
Yeah.
I saw Challengers yesterday.
Challengers. What is that?
You might want to check it out.
Do I know? Should I know what that is?
That's the tennis movie that came out this weekend.
Yes.
Really?
They made it for $55 million. It had a boffo box office of $15 million.
But you drop in knowledge. You're
yeah, it won the box office. Yeah, $15
million. Is it good?
There's some sites.
It's like an R-rated tennis thing.
It's almost softcore porn.
Oh, yeah.
God, this is great. The soft.
And it's like a threesome. Isn't the story that there's a threesome?
Yeah, there's multiple,
no threesomes on the tennis court, Carl.
Oh, there's multiple. In it?
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot in play there. Yeah.
I love how Chris saw this.
She's gross.
Of course. Big tennis fan.
Don't keep a young girl waiting.
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm in.
Guys, you might want to check it out.
This is a strong endorsement from Chris Black.
Maybe it can earn a $7.5 million this week.
Maybe it could. Good for them. And 25 schmildo at the box office already. Vince is in Arlington Heights. What's up, Vince?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know what? I just get off of work, and I'm tuning in to hear the good kid get all lathered up about this draft, and it sounds like he's giving a eulogy on here. What's going on, boys?
Ah, that's wrong. You weren't listening. I gave it a grade of A.
You gave it an A-. Minus.
I had an
eulogy.
A. I had an A.
What show are you listening to, Vince?
I moved it to an A-, bitch. Only because they drafted the punter.
What's going on, punter?
Oh, the punter. That's because punters are silly. Drafting punters is silly.
It's silly. It's not the smartest thing in the world.
I'd be remiss to say you guys like to play a few games here and there. Did we watch Iowa all this year?
No.
Pounded the under. This guy flipped the field nonstop.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to bet the under on the Bears
games. You said bet
Iowa.
The under?
Why would I want to watch Iowa play?
Vince, if the Bears are going under, that's not a good thing, Vince.
No. I'm not saying the Bears are going under. I'm saying this was a good pick because this guy single-handedly or single foot put him in the Big Ten championship. Iowa's offense was dismal.
Of course, they're pathetic. Yeah. But that's got really nothing to do with drafting a punter in the fourth round. I mean, that he's good for Iowa.
I'm not sure where you're coming from.
You know, I mean,
I
know your phone's breaking up.
Yeah, Iowa stinks. Iowa's awful. Iowa said offensive football back 25 years. You don't even know their defense is good because their offense is so bad. You know what I'm saying?
Their defense. Bro.
And now they're telling me that the height of the world, the two things that Iowa can tell me about is an Australian punter and Caitlin Clark. Those are the two best things coming out of Iowa.
And Cooper DeJean.
The corner.
Good for the Eagles and landing the two best corners. Eagles had a good draft, I think, Eric. I think Arizona had a good draft. The Bears had a good draft. Even though they didn't have a lot of picks, I think the Bears had a good draft.
The Eagles got to 10 wins last year and then just simply went.
Tell me about it. Remember that bet I won?
Yeah.
I don't know how I won that bet.
In their pants they went that, Carm.
I'll never know how I cashed that
ticket. Eagles had a good draft. They haven't figured out why the hell they lost five of the last six games.
Well, that's true, but I thought they did well in the draft, especially addressing some of the big needs on defense.
We get to Philadelphia again.
That's what I thought.
By the way, maybe we need to reiterate. I gave the draft an A-, down from an A because of the punter pick. But I think they kind of, after being idiotic, they went back and they got two areas of need. They got the defensive end. They just made one bad pick. It was an arrogant pick is what it was.
These are good grades that we're giving the Bears. Pretty much everybody's giving
A-, Carm. I don't know what anybody would be crying about out there.
Strong to quite strong, you know. Dean is downtown. What's up, Dean?
Dean.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I wanted to quickly make a point. I was wondering if anyone at the station, you know, the night it happened, I did not hate the Penix Falcons pick. And I was asking Abdallah if anyone's kind of come around and changed their mind over the weekend. You know, if you're a GM and 3 months ago you had Drake May and Daniels as bust, or let's just say not as high on your draft board, and come that night, nothing really changes. You know, you take Penix because you like them, and they kind of have a contingency plan and all that stuff. I was wondering if anything's changed. And then I really wanted to make a point. I watched that Sixers game yesterday, guys. Nick Batum has got to go. Nick Batum does not belong on an NBA court. Even Chris Black, who hates me, will agree with that statement. And he only hates me because I said his wife is hot. But it's true. He's got a hot wife.
Well, yeah, but right, he hates you for that. I don't know why he would hate you for that.
Who's got a hot wife?
Chris. I don't know why he would hate you for that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll drink a water. Nick Batum's got to go. How about Tobias Harris in Philadelphia? You want to talk about somebody who's got to go.
Bad?
I mean, yeah. The Penix pick... We kind of talked about it. We played what Joel Klatt said earlier this weekend on Rich Eisen's podcast. I thought it was insightful. I think there were other options. If the Falcons knew they wanted a quarterback, weren't there other options in free agency instead of spending $100 million on Kirk Cousins? It's very bizarre to me. I that's not going to change. That's nothing on Penix. I mean, Michael Penix might be just fine in this league. Might be just fine. But I don't think it's fair to him as a 24-year-old to say, well, you might have to sit for 2 or 3 years. Joel Klatt said other than Caleb and maybe right there with Caleb, he was the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft class because of all that he's done and accomplished and everything they asked him to do under center at Washington. It just doesn't make any sense to commit that kind of money to Kirk Cousins and then draft
you know
a quarterback.
Somebody out of the first three is going to be your bus factor.
Of course, I get that.
Yeah, there's going to be one of those three quarterbacks you're going to scratch your head in a couple years going, what in the hell were they thinking?
I get that. I know. And I don't even mean it that way, like as an indictment of like his potential or anything like that. It's just very odd when there were so many quarterbacks that changed teams and so many other options that were available to you. If your mindset was, we really love Michael Penix, we're in the perfect spot to get him. Hey, man, okay. Why is your first order of business when the offseason begins or when free agency begins, when the new league year begins, signing Kirk Cousins for $100 million. It is a very bizarre, strange move. I don't know that I'll ever change my thought or feeling on that. Sign Gardner Minshew, for crying out loud. Sign Jimmy G. Sign Darnold. Trade a 6-round pick for Justin Fields. Like, yeah, you got a lot of options if you believe in Michael Penix. It's just very strange. Yurko's got the final word. Then we're going to crosstalk. The final word is brought to you by the Homewood Police Department. Your future is here.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
So what are you doing? What are you doing?
But there's got to be some noise in those numbers.
What are you doing is my point.
I don't know.
What? It takes a certain level of arrogance out of your general manager to want to waste a fourth rounder on a punter. It takes a certain amount of arrogance.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. And it is time to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. We're ready to get you home on this Monday. Glorious Monday. It's glorious.
Well, it's good to have a crosstalk with you guys, man.
Yes, it's good
to see you guys.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Missed you on Friday.
We missed you too.
Good to see the hater of all punters, Carmen and Yurko.
Yeah. Well, not even hate. It's just curious to draft one when you've got four picks.
I don't personally.
Look, I heard everything that you guys said, and I agree with it. Like, look. Is it going to ruin my day? No, because I'm riding with them.
The draft was
It was, but I would, when you still need some guys at different spots, I would have personally preferred that they used it on somebody who is going to be asked to do more.
I don't think the Bears were in a position of luxury.
Right.
To be able to just to piddle that fourth rounder away on a punter.
I think Yurko's got the idea. You go to Australia, you go to one of those games, you find
the biggest, most handsome
strapping one you can find.
20
and you say,
old.
Hey, come on. You know,
The crowd. You got some Fosters in the shade.
That's the punter call. That's the punter call.
Dude, like you just go over there and you have a punting.
Oi.
You have a punting contest,
that's
right?
That's all.
And the biggest, most handsome, large-legged man gets the contract.
I mean, that's what I do. I mean, Yurko's got it right.
You should scout. You should be their scout.
I'm doing it. Carm's going to go over there and promote, that's what it is, with no authority from the Bears at all.
Right.
Just to go over there and spend time and admire some very nice, large, handsome Australian
men. They have a scout for the Midwest. They have a scout in the South. They have a scout out West. He's their scout of Down Under.
Down Under scout. Yeah, I bet you are.
You got a lot done down there, too. You better believe me.
You bet.
And we bring back the real crocodile hunter.
We might not even. It might be like the movie. Like, you got to go deep in the bush.
Here's your guy.
Deep
in the bush.
Still popular there. Believe it or not.
I don't know. But, you know, maybe he's like Mick Dundee. You got to go into the. You got to go search.
With us still.
We thought
it'd be good to have him record a video for home games. That's not a punt. That's a punt. You know, like when he like.
That's good.
But then Adam said he suffered an accident recently, and it's left him feeble.
Feeble.
But, no.
Poor guy's feeble.
You know, he married the woman that was his co-star.
Remember how hot she was?
Yeah. Remember?
Linda Kozlowski. That's right.
Let's get
Liam Hendricks on to talk about him.
Yeah,
maybe Liam knows,
you know.
But all Australians should know another athlete who's Australian. That's right.
The small 100%. Countries over there all know each other. Come on.
Time out. It's not a country. It's a continent, isn't
it? Both.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Both. Yeah.
All right. We don't strike out with Australian athletes in this town.
It's an island.
Well, we've had Luke. Luke was great.
We've had Liam. Who else have we had?
Luke Long.
Have we struck out with one? Who was the tall... the tall bull that...
not Luke, but somebody
else?
Another Aussie?
I thought in the rebuilding days, a center. Didn't we have one who wasn't very good?
Merrick wasn't. He was Turkish.
No, between that and the rebuilding.
You're not thinking about Dalibor Bagaric, are you?
No.
Dalibor.
That is the dulcet tones of a man who wanted
maybe he was
punter.
In Australia.
Third round. Meller wanted a third round pick. Spent on the
I thought ball. It was a Krause guy.
Was it like? Was there another Aussie?
I thought maybe.
Who's the guy that played for Seton Hall? Adam Graze. Adam.
No, he played at Pittsburgh.
Adam West.
Was it Pittsburgh?
Aaron Gray.
He was.
I don't know. Sylvie might be right. And maybe Meller wanted a third round pick because Meller. Balls.
Call the show if you remember who
call
I'm talking
the
about.
Show.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
I mean, maybe if the Big Ten fans are.
Maybe Meller. Meller studies a lot of football. And I guess he likes to cross, you know, dot all of his I's and cross all of his T's. I don't get wrapped up in punting and kicking. He does a little bit more.
There you go.
You know,
Chris Anstey.
Well,
there's also Cameron Bairstow too.
Cameron Bairstow. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of Anstey.
Yeah. Well, we've struck out on a few of them.
Yeah. So we have.
I'll take two guys I couldn't give a rat's ass about for 500, please.
Yeah.
Didn't Krause like Anstey? Wasn't he a Krause guy?
Probably.
Why, did his mom have big hands and feet?
Yeah, probably. Mm. I think so. You know, and they're like, well, we hit with Luke. We're going to, you know.
She had big cheeks.
We're going to hit with Chris Anstey.
He was here from 99 to 2000.
I covered some of those teams. I covered Chris Anstey. I don't even remember.
Did you feel at any point like maybe it was you, not them? Like, I mean, didn't you join the beat when it was just horrible?
No, I was like a year into the, you know, post-dynasty, you know. I never thought. I pretty much blamed them.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
I just wondered if there was ever a time when you sat alone at home in the dark just kind of made it personal.
When they're throwing Jake Voskal and Khaled El-Amin and Eddie Curry out there. I'm like,
Jake Voskal was a UConn guy wasn't he?
He was a UConn
guy. Andrew Gaze, Australian former professional basketball player and coach.
I don't know.
There we go. It was Andrew Gaze. You don't remember the name?
Maybe he could help you with the punter trial.
Pulling that.
Punter tryouts.
I don't know if I remember. Yeah, Seton Hall, 88 to 89.
I don't remember him.
He's undrafted.
Oh, that's so you were. Okay.
That's right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, that is
those years.
That's why I remember it.
Yes, I don't recall him.
By the way, Yerk, look, this is going to go full circle. We're going down to Canton to
it's the circle of life.
Yes,
yeah.
Devin Hester is getting inducted.
Do you have a mouse in your pocket? Who's we exactly?
We're all, aren't you going with
what does that mean? What does that mean? We're all going.
Aren't we going for? Aren't we going? We went for Erlacher.
What are we doing? A show on Friday?
I would hope so.
Are we taking the big limo bus again?
We're doing a show on Friday. What are we doing?
That's when the season starts. It's the first game.
Come on, we'll get the limo bus. We'll do a high-stakes game of in-between.
Your mouth is moving and you're talking, but I'm trying to understand exactly what you're saying.
Sylvie, Carmen, and Yurko will be in Canton. We will physically be there to watch Devin Hester.
I'll be there Friday.
The greatest special team player go in for the Hall of Fame when our new Australian punter punts for the very first time in Canton, Ohio, and then in 20 years from now, he will then be inducted into the Hall of Fame as the greatest punter ever.
Now you're being Mellon will be his presenter.
That's a great thought, Sylvie, but you don't risk your punter in the Hall of Fame game. He's not going to play till game two.
I don't know.
Good counterpoint, Mellon. Very good counterpoint.
Silliness. You'd never put him in the first preseason game.
Silliness. Absolute silliness.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
I don't mind you having fun, being silly. That's it's not a problem for me. I will be there. I mean, if we're doing shows from there on Friday, I will be there, absolutely,
well,
for
sure. Of
course
we're going to Canton.
But I imagine not much unlike the last time I was in Canton. The minute our show was over, we're taillights getting out of Dodge.
On Saturday. Well,
Weren't you talking like Colonel Lingus the entire trip home?
There's nothing
Lingus,
wrong.
Colonel Lingus.
Yeah.
Colonel Angus.
There is nothing wrong with being able to watch that on television. That's a made-for-TV event. I don't know if you guys remember how hot it was.
I do.
It was hot. It was steamy. For you guys can stick around.
But the only reason we came back early is because I needed to be home Saturday night because I had a race. I was doing a triathlon the next day.
Oh, look at you.
Well, that's
been Mr. Triathlon.
He tagged along.
That for me would be eating, drinking, and smoking at a local establishment.
Which you did in Canton.
Yes.
Did Meller have a triathlon?
No, but I think
you guys have a triathlon.
That's what I'm saying. You guys were so determined to get out of Dodge. You're like, well, I got to go back with Carmen.
Yeah.
We had to drive so that I could drive.
The Colonel
home.
Was driving, right? Yes.
And this is Mongo. He was one of our teammates.
I'm not doing a triathlon this year. I'm in.
He was a teammate of yours in Green Bay. He was a teammate of yours with the Bears.
Absolutely.
And he was all of our teammates here.
I can't wait to see it on television. I really can.
I'll go and stay for the weekend.
It's going to be exciting. You guys can all stay for the weekend.
Let's go Airbnb it up there in Canton. I bet you get a really nice place for a couple $100.
I encourage you guys to all be there for the weekend. I will be there up till Friday.
Is the water park complete yet? Weren't they building a water park there?
They were.
Oh yeah, they were building a hospital too, weren't they? Wasn't it a hospital?
All types of great things happening in Canton.
If the water park is done, will we go to the water park?
I love the sure. water.
Me too. Love
it. Oh yeah.
I like it when the bucket fills up. Then it
love it.
Pours.
Oh, you do.
I then it's when it tilts over.
I love
you
it
like the splash bucket?
I'm in. Johnny will stay for Saturday morning just to pee in the pool,
probably,
and then get in the car and go back.
Well, I don't need any motivation to do that, guys.
Yeah.
Carmen knows. And I'm upstairs on the third floor usually. Carmen walks to the car and there's me tinkling.
Oh, yeah.
I
in
do
the garage?
Like
Mr. Tinkles. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I don't get it. I'm like, we just
right next
left
door
the
to the building. Yeah.
There's a bathroom right here.
Yes.
Sometimes the walk over just triggers it. I don't know what
the
walk over.
Right. Did you find yourself having to go to the bathroom?
Train goes through. I hear the train, you know, next thing you know, I'm activated.
So the train. I don't know why. Running water may do a little
some
bit of
do,
that.
Some, that'll
but
do
a
too.
Train does it for you.
I hear
huh?
the train.
One time, he had to go number two and he just went right by the car.
Hola.
Are you serious?
Hola. I'm kidding.
What is that called? Speaking of dogs, she's got three.
Yeah.
The Pavlov's dog is when you hear the bell.
That's Pavlovian theory.
Right. You hear the bell, and then you start
because
you think you're going to get fed.
Yes.
So when you hear the train, and then you want to pee, what is that called? That's
called
anything. But it's still Pavlovian theory. Still Pavlovian theory.
It's just activating a different sense.
I can't think of a good rhyme.
Yeah,
it's just activating.
Right, Johnny hears a train and just automatically wants to take his stuff out.
Piddles. I don't know what to say. just the way it works sometimes.
If you had to drop a deuce in the garage, could you?
That's disgusting.
Only in a case of emergency, and it's got to be an extreme emergency.
Okay.
Flexibility is the issue now.
How are you going to do that?
Can I get enough clearance?
Are you going to hold on to like that?
I can get clearance from, you know, the Pantalones.
Right.
So what I can set myself up in a situation like this.
Can you get two hands like on that trailer hitch?
No.
The trailer hitch off the back of the truck?
Not the trailer hitch I'm worried about. As you step up into the car, I'll do a lean back, like a reverse dip, get the legs out, and just, it's like the Enola Gay. It bombs away.
The Enola
Fat Gay. Man and the little boy coming out of me now. Oh, hello, how are
just
you?
Just let me know what floor you do that on.
And then
on
there's and a I'll... couple of ploppers, you know, because if it plops, you know you got...
The problem is sloppiness.
Yeah. You get a little reverb. If your angle's not right, like you're going to mess
yourself.
Oh, you're
going to get trampolined.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, the legs got to be shot forward there. And then the triceps can't be a trembling. Because if you got to
hold,
I got to hold for too long. I'm right. I'm in it. In it at that point. Now we got a mudslide.
Yeah, gross.
No good.
I got an idea.
That's what I'm saying. You just, Johnny, just grab the trailer hitch like this.
Yeah, but what are you gonna do with your shorts?
You take them off.
Oh, so
hang them up on your rear view mirror.
He has a Jaybird. Yeah, that's not working, Ken.
But in your theory,
time out. If you've got your pants around your ankles, taking a dump in the garage, what's the difference?
Yeah. Wait a minute, though. You have him doing it on the trailer hitch. That means he's in the aisle. Like he's not even hiding the fact.
Well, you backed it in.
Oh.
You backed the car
but
in.
But I still have an open area on three. The cars are coming up.
Yeah, I think you got to. Oh, you got to do my grandfather's secret.
I've got a double door issue. I got a double door open. So it's not an issue.
Or put the hood up
hit by another
and do
car
it at the front of the car.
Yeah. Put the hood up.
Make it look like you're
doing
chucking the oil.
What am I changing the oil?
Used to do? When he used to take a whiz.
Meanwhile, you're
on the Edens.
Yeah, guys. But taking a whiz and
two martini dinner he used to have before we go to before we go to the Bulls game, and then he'd try to make it to the Chicago Stadium,
guys,
and then he would pop the hood in the Kennedy, pull over on the shoulder. Pop the HUD and take
amazing.
A whiz.
That is incredible.
Going number one is not a challenge.
No.
The question that came up was going number two.
Yeah. Right.
Number but two is the challenge. It. Can't pop a hood.
I don't know. That'd
and
be
drop
a tough
a
thing
deuce.
To hide.
It's not working that way.
Yeah. That's
you
got
to do a double door open.
And then you got nothing to wipe.
The only way
with.
You do it is a double door open, and then you're praying to the heavens it's quick.
I mean, why don't you just lay down, do it, go into the truck bed, lay some newspaper down, and just drop it there?
Tommy, what am I, a parakeet?
I mean, what's going on?
I mean,
really.
I mean, what the hell's going on?
That way, it's your car. So, like, they can't bust you for anything.
Pretty Bird.
I want a cracker.
Yeah. Take a dump. Take a dump.
You can want a cracker.
Take a dump.
Wow, it's stinky.
I mean, that's just awful. You would have to be talking about some kind of an emergency that was so bad.
Oh,
because,
gosh.
You know, and at that point,
Tommy's already done
you're right.
It, you know, accidentally.
No, I haven't.
I mean, at that point, you might as well just mess yourself and get home and deal with it then, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're going to need the newspaper.
Listen, no, I mean, the closest I got was going up the Edens, and I hopped like three curbs to get into a McDonald's. I cut two guys off. One guy chased me into the parking lot. He was so mad. And I opened up the door, and I got out of my car, and I started running into the bathroom at McDonald's. I said, you can kick my ass later, but I'm going in, and I have to go to the bathroom. And he laughed and took off.
Yeah, he understood.
Yeah, he knew.
At some point,
I don't know how the Edens roulette.
I don't know how
punters. That's
this,
how.
It all started with silly punters being drafted. Do you imagine? This is why. Look at what it leads to. Crocodile punter.
Yeah, say that slowly. I know what you're going to say.
Crocodile
punter.
You
better be careful. Give yourself a 2-3 week vacation.
All in all, it was all good. It's good draft.
Excited.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, my grade went from an A to A minus. I still think it's great.
It's a great draft. Yeah, it's all good. We're very excited.
What if they would have walked away with the four players? They had four picks, right?
Four picks.
And if they would have walked away with four of the players that they drafted and wouldn't have drafted the punter, and in the fourth round, they took Booker instead of getting him. You guys would be thrilled.
Yes. That would be perfect. Right.
That's an A+.
So it's an A plus. So then now they've added the punter as a bonus.
No, it's not a bonus. You gave away a fourth rounder. Next year's fourth rounder you gave away.
You gave away a pick. You didn't have to.
You gave it away because you wanted to be cute.
Give it away now. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Nobody loves their punters the way Iowa football fans call.
He's the most important player on the team.
Like, the way these, like, you would think that no one has ever watched an Iowa football game before.
Well, we have.
That's true. The way they call in and tweet, they're like, and they always say, guys, I watched every Iowa game. Guys, I went to Iowa.
To hear that. Yeah.
I got texts from people who went to Iowa. You don't understand, Sylvie. This guy, I went to Iowa, he's a weapon.
Oh, we understand. Your lot in life is such that you're going crazy over a punter.
He had a game last year where he punted 10 times.
Ten times.
That's 10 times he punted.
Caitlin Clark is here, And he's just like, she set all these records. He's just literally just a little notch below her. It's just so that's how much they love him.
Well, he is the best at what he does in college football. There's no doubt. Well, he was, good. By far.
Yeah, all right. So it's all good.
She revolutionized the sport, and he's just a notch below her the way they talk about
it. He has to punt 10 times a game.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Have you seen that the Kirk Ferentz offense? If he could go back in time and come out a year earlier, he should have. That's like putting too many pitches on a young pitcher's arm.
Yeah,
I think his leg's gonna fall off. First of all, he's 26.
26.
Yeah, he's 26.
Him and Velas going for the AARP card.
Yeah, he came over from Australia late.
Oh my God, I didn't know he was 26.
I think his leg's gonna fall off after being asked to do all of that punting at Iowa.
You guys gonna talk about the White Sox sweep at all today?
Right. Only if you stand up, Southsider.
Yeah.
Only if you stand up.
Are you a hater or a lover?
I guess I'm a hater.
You've got to define yourself these days, I guess.
I guess he was talking to those of us that have been extremely critical of the White Sox.
How could you not be extremely critical of this organization?
Yeah, I'm a tolerator.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I tolerate what they
do. It's for all the haters.
Who is he talking to? I would like to have a conversation with him. Who is he talking to?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to be people with vision. I'm not trying to be a smartass. Who is he addressing when he says to all the haters? Because most of the people I talk to who have been hating as a guy who's hosted a show in this town on the White Sox radio network on their flagship have been Sox fans who hate their team and hate their direction. No problem with being excited over a walk-off.
Especially since it's Benintendi who you finally had a weekend.
But again, like the calls that we get from Sox, and this isn't from a Cubs fan. I've always defined this. I am not a Cubs fan who hates the Sox. I would love Sox fans. This is the White Sox station. I want them to do better for, at the very least, business purposes for our radio station. I want my friends who are White Sox fans to have a better team. I hate the way the team is being run because my Bulls team is run the exact same way with the same ownership group. So I would like to know from John Schifrin, like, who are the haters? Who is he addressing there? Because for me, it's a lot of the Sox fans who hate the way their team is being run and has been run for the last several years.
Yeah. And who exactly is a hater? Can you be disappointed and be vocally disappointed, or does that make you a hater?
I don't know.
They doubled their win total with a nice sweep of the Rays over the weekend. That's great.
I think it's a bizarre flex win total when you get to win five. You know, it's just weird. A month into the season when you've got your fifth win. It seems odd. I don't know. We don't like the fact that maybe too many of us are overly critical of them. But
How could you not be? That's what passionate Southside fans are about.
Yeah.
Like, say what you want about who shows up and who doesn't. The one thing about Sox fans is they will always be passionate. And when they suck, they're going to say they're going to suck and that they're not happy that they suck. Do you want them when they suck to everyone go away and not say anything?
No.
They're going to, like, Sox fans in the last couple of weeks have loaded up our phone lines.
I know.
People say Sox fans don't care. That's BS. Sox fans do care. They care.
And I think
they're going to tell you that they're pissed.
We don't even get any, like, optimistic. Oh, you guys are being too hard or you're being unfair. Like, we
how
don't
could
even get
somebody
you
call you all, and say that?
I think all Sox fans are pretty much
they
fed
were
3-22
at one point before they doubled their win total.
I know.
Bears fans do the same thing. Bulls fans do the same thing. Cubs fans have done the same thing. Cubs fans are mad about the bullpen, and they're 6-over.
Yeah, they're a half game out of first.
Carm, it's like I've said, especially in this town, you want to see some haters, go to New York. Go to Philly. York. Go to Boston. Yeah, go to some other places.
Good luck.
People here.
Embiid's ripping the fans.
Yes.
I know.
He's playing hurt.
And by the way, you know what? As long as you feel your team is given everything they can be given at this point to try and win as many games as possible, then you're going to get support.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sox fans feel like that effort is being given by their ownership. Yeah.
Do you hear the thing about getting rid of Griffles?
Oh, really?
And they're looking at a Kansas City bench coach.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. They looking at another Kansas City? He was the Kansas City bench coach.
This guy, they're looking at the current Kansas City bench coach. It's comical.
They can't possibly.
It's comical. Comicus.
But don't be a hater, Yurk.
Don't hate.
You're going to get called out tonight when they walk it off.
I'm a tolerator.
When they walk it off.
I want them to call out all the tolerators. That's me.
Okay.
And don't forget about the Pat the Tolerator, too. I do a podcast with him.
All right. So we're, we've got Field Yates today.
Nice.
Your thoughts on the Bears draft. 312-332-3776, and Meller will take a victory lap.
All right. Have fun, boys. We'll see you tomorrow.